This is Bob Fitrakis in the studio with Dan Dugan on the other side of the news.
Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
We're streaming live on the Free Press Network and WGRN.org and on the radio and at WGRN LP FM 94.1 and WCRS LP FM 92.7 and 98.3. How about that, Mr. Dugan?
Man, we're getting around, but not as much as Rudy.
But as they used to sing, Dugan gets around.
Rudy.
The Beach Boys sang about it.
Really? I missed that one. Oh, I'll be darned.
Anyway, all over Newark, one side of town to the other.
And then some. I've been a number of places, but again, I haven't been around as much as Rudy, you know, Trump's lawyer. He gets around. That guy gets around.
Giuliani.
The America's mayor. And in the meantime, we have a guest, right, Bob?
Yeah, and Train got around lately, out there making some history and traveling the country.
Train being Train DePriest.
Yeah.
Who is...
As
everybody.
I always said, Train DePriest, and the church will follow.
There you go.
So I apologize to everybody who's watching and or listening, because this is finally an opportunity for me to take ownership of the fact that oftentimes this show is just completely beleaguered with technical problems.
No.
That's me. So... make sure to send your hate mail to train at somewhere else.
Train is an engineer, actually.
Right, shouldn't it be an engineer? Anyway, so yeah, Bob, I'm excited to be a guest, to be finally sitting on this side of the camera. That's unique.
That's for sure.
Crazy, and not be just sitting here fixing the camera or the lights.
And I'm glad that this time you can be the victim of some of the...
Yeah.
Gaffes and hiccups.
I'm looking forward to deal
with, you know, Dr. Bob.
I've learned to deal with Dr. Bob.
And, page 20, the Train DePriest article in this month's Free Press. Let me go back quickly right there. Page 20.
If you're on the radio, you won't see this.
And my protege has graphics that she can go to as well.
Wow.
But, yeah, this article has been an incredible experience for me. Usually, as a graphic designer, I just get to make pretty graphics. But now I get to go down and participate in chronicling what is absolutely a turning point in history. And there's a fantastic article that I wrote for the Free Press. So if you visit columbusfreepress.org and...
Or pick one up from the newsstand.
Yeah, actually, we would love that.
When the black box beast ate our democracy.
Yeah, I was trying to tie into Halloween, guys. So I'm sorry I took
some creative license
with that.
That's
but
right.
It
I'm
really
spooked.
Is.
It Trust
really
me,
is something
I'm
to be afraid of.
Yeah, absolutely.
I had no idea. Like most Americans, I just had this... I had resigned myself to believing that voting just didn't matter. And that, so I vote, big deal, I get a sticker, what really is happening? But I was enraged to learn that there are, as I put in the article, I'm quoting myself, Machiavellian moves being made. Scale, and they're doing it by pushing these voting machines that are getting between the voter and their vote. They are ballot marking devices being pawned by their sales reps as just a newfangled modern way for voting. Sorry, I'm getting into the weeds, but it's important. Is that they are removing the voting, and it's not the actual ballot itself. They encode your choices in barcode at the top of this receipt, and then you're supposed to, in good faith, believe that this barcode, in fact, carries the will of the people. But it's
the mark of the beast. Go ahead.
Wow.
Perfect. Sorry. It could be. All I know is...
No, the barcode itself is what you get given?
Yeah.
What could be better?
Well, because of the reaction to the hanging chads, this government invested money into... in new policies into putting touch screens and modern technology in between the voter and their vote. And in the case of the handicapped, all for that. But trying to make sure that every voter has this layer between their vote and their intention, it's just not right. As a matter of fact,
trust the machines, Train. No. The machine will.
I'm an AR designer, augmented reality. I am all about
it's your
technology.
Fault.
There will be a barcode there.
Just
Train.
Kidding.
Yeah. So what we discovered is that when you go to the grocery store, you trust that can of soup. That thing's had a barcode on it for 50 years. You trust that, right? No, because when I take that barcode out to another city or to another scanning machine, it's a different price. And that's our point, is that just because there's a barcode, you does not mean that you can trust that that barcode is going to relay the exact same information from machine to machine. And there's so many things. There's a effort where transmitted disease, and I'm paraphrasing what was said in the documentary, an Emmy Award nominated documentary that you should all, every American should see, called Fraction Magic. Because just reveals through Beverly Harris's work and Benny J. Smith's discovery of this software that is running across the majority of the voting systems, and it has gone from one machine to the next, iteration after iteration, company after company, and it is it's mind-boggling to see it in effect, actually working as it was demonstrated for me.
And thank God it's proprietary and secret, and we don't even know if they're using the fraction.
Right. So you guys understand it. I don't. So could you explain how
I will
this
try.
Fraction?
Yes.
Hillary Clinton counted as 9/10 of a vote.
How about 5/3? Yeah, or 3/5. Yeah, it's
right. Nothing's wrong with shaving a tenth.
So let me layman terms it. Just here's what happened.
Yeah, yeah.
It
please.
Was demonstrated in front of me. The Benny J. Smith, a financial data analyst who also happens to be an elections commissioner in Tennessee, was able to reverse engineer voter data. He was able to demonstrate that, and the documentary has the visuals. I lack those.
Okay.
But he was able to demonstrate that he could sway any vote by fairly large margins, the margins necessary to ensure that it was not needing to be recounted, right? But it was done through fractions. It was done through weighting certain districts. And we've seen gerrymandering at the most racist of scales right there in North Carolina. The week that I arrived, the courts were throwing out the I took a fantastic tour of the Institute for international civil rights that's housed in the original Woolworth. It like ripples in a river, it just spread out, and these nonviolent acts of dissent this drama 2 weeks, and I don't want to give it away, but there's some really dramatic results that you have to check out.
All right, we'd never give it away. 4.1 and WCRS 92.7 and 98.3, Mr. Dugan.
That's right, yes. Our sister station. We're the Green Renaissance. What is CRS's slogan?
I always thought it was community radio station.
Cool radical.
Non-gender.
Catalogic.
More gender binary. So there. They don't like that right. Sister thing.
Okay. I kept referring to them as brother and sister stations, but then, I got yelled at Comfest about that.
Uh-huh.
So
uh-huh.
I won't be referring.
I've now been I just yelled at Comfest before.
So, times. That's what I was doing in North Carolina. We want to start with local stuff?
We could. What do we got locally?
Well, I thought maybe
your event.
We were going to discuss the anonymous letters, perhaps.
Oh, I think
perhaps,
we were going to first begin with those letters.
Okie doke.
Explain to me exactly what happened, and for our audience. Was it just some anonymous letters, or were they letters from staff?
Well, they were 14 letters. That were anonymous that came from police officers.
Well, some in the
black,
article say
some Hispanic, and some of them actually, as you say, reference.
I was going to say some in the article say from a concerned officer, and others say anonymous. I was wondering what the difference was there.
Well, there was 14 of these letters, so they're all individuals, and many of them will actually refer to themselves. I'm
okay.
Black officer.
Okay.
But there were 14 separate letters that were leaked to the Free Press, all of them alleging racial bias in the Columbus Police Department.
Right.
And this is a big story. I mean, not only is it the cover article for this month, Free Press, but it's been picked up by ABC News. And
you get a feel any time there's a...
We're known out
it's
there
a
now.
Separate, yeah. It's a separate letter. For example, in this time, the good old boy system seems to play out with African-American officers being disciplined at a much higher rate when compared to Caucasian officers. So that's an anonymous police officer. Another concerned officer says unfair treatment is the issue that this department suffers from the most. White officers routinely get lesser discipline, if any at all, than black officers. And that was another concerned officers. Here's an anonymous officer. I have witnessed female supervisors treated disrespectfully by subordinates and then get no support from their supervisors.
Okay.
So, a little sexism. Another anonymous officer.
A little sexism, a little racism.
I am also aware of an African-American officer who contacted the Fraternal Order of Police, that being the police union, regarding a concern with the chain of command. I witnessed that officer sergeant inform them that the commander in their chain of command stated that if anyone were to contact the FOP on behalf of that officer, the discipline... Absolutely.
Wow.
On the Columbus Division of Police, as a black officer, you are labeled as lazy if you are not aggressive, proactive in areas of the city where there's a black population or a large population of blacks. You're considered lazy if you're not being aggressive with a little black cop on black community interaction.
Bob, you've done a lot of work on racism in this community particular, in Ohio in general, but it seems to me that this kind of behavior by the Columbus police just keeps coming up and being exposed. It's like, it's almost every month there's something.
Right. The FBI came to have a look at it.
Yes, yes. Sure. I mean, I it's no wonder that it's making national news because that's, you know, it's drawing nationwide attention. So that's not a good thing for Columbus to be known for.
Solutions, Bob? I mean, you know, you start at the top.
Sure, who you hire. But more than that is the culture. I mean, part of the problem now is that department with, you know, well over a quarter of the population's black, and most of these white police officers get away from their job. They live out in the surrounding rural counties where often they come in and it's like they're an occupational army. They're here occupying the city and then retreating on weekends and at night. So, I mean, you've actually got to get police that live in the city, know the neighborhood, understand the culture,
and are connected
connected to the community, that understand, you know, that, you know, who a few bad people are, but understand the vast majority of people there are there, and they want community policing. They want problems resolved.
And they're not a threat to the every officer, right?
Yeah, I think it's an occupying force, particularly the white officers. Every black is perceived as a potential threat.
Right.
As opposed to actually when they used to walk a beat or police a certain neighborhood.
Right.
You don't know who's good, who's bad, and you don't really care. Mm. You're going to treat them all the same often. With aggression and disrespect.
But aren't there some cities in this country that are passing ordinances that require the police live in the community?
Yeah, no, there are. And there's that actually want police officers that have college degrees and understand the Constitution.
Oh, go on.
I mean, we set the standards very low in Columbus. Right. All you need is a GED. You don't need any classes on constitutional law at, say, the community college where I teach or elsewhere, because even though you've sworn, you know, to protect and defend that Constitution, how can you do it if you don't even know what's in it?
Yeah. So, wow. Locally,
protect, defend, and mace is not in the Constitution.
A lot of bad news locally. How about, let's widen the scope. How about nationwide? Is it a little bit better there?
Well, the Commander in Chief continues to tweet away.
Oh, boy.
And as a matter of fact, the most recent thing I heard was that he wants China to investigate the Bidens as well as, he said, the Ukrainians. It took him a moment to remember who he'd already been lying about. And
I started a trade war for no reason with China.
Yeah.
And now I want him to spy for me.
Right. Do him a favor.
Well, and I think Train made this point earlier that it's like everyone works for him. It's like, hi, I'm the rich billionaire.
Yeah.
Hey, you Chinese, I want a black bag spy job.
Well, I mean, they are printing his hats and his banners. So he probably
and his
just
ties.
Thinks. And his ties, too. It's probably
they're printing our flags using probably some political prisoner.
Yeah.
This thing's sacred. It was made by a well-known political prisoner.
Trump is tweeting more crazy stuff. I really didn't think it could get any crazier than his latest tweet about filling the Rio Grande with more poisonous snakes.
Oh, yeah, that was a really good one.
I thought he's so on the verge of the meme of Dr. Evil and asking for the snakes to have freaking lasers on its head, on their heads.
Yeah.
That would be...
alligators and snakes.
If you could just go there.
Just throw them in the moat.
Right. Well, I think what
some
his
say
plan
a wall is medieval.
I think his plan is not Space Force, it's Snake Force. That's what he's moving towards.
Snake Force.
Snake Force. They'll have rockets.
Slithering at unprecedented speeds.
You can fry an egg on that wall, by the way. He pointed that out, too. So snake eggs, maybe, to fry on the wall. It just gets more and more ridiculous, and here we sit in our
seals and snakes swimming together to beat back the hordes.
Well, he's got to be doing this on purpose, just for so that we will not pay attention to the would-be potential replacements. What's going on in the Democratic circle? Is there a debate coming? Did I hear it's happening here?
Otterbein.
Otterbein. Wow. There you go.
What's the date on that? It's coming up soon in October.
I don't know,
but
that
would be great. So,
but I believe the end of the show is coming up soon.
Oh, yeah.
And before we get there, I just wanted to remind people of the second Saturday Salon Free Press. Salon.
Yes.
At 1021
East Broad Street, and there will be progressive friends having food, drink, and maybe some music. The speakers this time will be Dr. Bridget Williams, medical marijuana, and Emil Ramash of the Terrasana Medical Marijuana Dispensary. So, and also the Free Press Annual Awards event, which will be Tuesday, November 4th at the Ace of Cups, 2619 North High Street, parking right on the side. And Donna McGavero will be the headline act.
All right. And there's an event, Capitalism versus Socialism. This one actually cost a little money, I think $5.
And I would argue that the two are not necessarily mutually exclusive, but it might be a good discussion.
Okay, and I'll be arguing the socialist side.
Oh, good.
Who's arguing the
Who's the capitalist?
Rhea. Right there at the bottom, you can see it. Keep going.
Rhea.
Stop.
Hederman. Rhea Hederman.
From
Director of Economic Research
Rhea Hederman.
Okay.
We can read. All right.
A little bit of Cardelliism.
Can you give us a little preview?
In Srpsko Hrvatsky. Actually, it's market socialism.
Wow.
Made famous
market socialism
by worker self-management, as you would know it.
I have got to take your class because I just assumed that socialism and capitalism were diametrically opposed, but there are
market
fantastic
socialism.
Hybrids.
The workers own the factory and they hire the management, and the management works, and they
I like the sound of that.
Compete against each other, but there's a solidarity fund, and when someone goes out of business, you provide capital for them to get back in the game.
Yeah.
It actually works better than capitalism.
Better ideas.
Yes.
Maybe you should run for office, Bob.
Right here.
Right.
About these things on the other side of the news here on WGRN. Our guest this week, Train DePriest, who is our engineer as well. I'm glad we got him on camera. And thanks a whole lot. Dr. Bob.
All right. Thanks, Mr. Dugan. And Train DePriest.
Thanks, guys.
Adios.
Okay, now Suzanne, you can just go fade to black.
Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.